Last time on the Blue Cord Podcast.
I lived in a city with many Christians and many churches everywhere. They saw me as a Muslim girl. I wore the hijab. I was Muslim, but no one invited me to their church. No one even prayed for me in the name of Jesus. No one gave me a Bible. No one shared their faith with me.
If you're like most women I know, you want to trust the Lord and fearlessly share Jesus. Yet something holds you back. Maybe you're struggling to navigate our culture. Maybe you wrestle with fear or lack skills. Maybe it's easier to stick in your comfort zone and keep your mouth shut rather than to talk about your faith, especially across cultures. That's what the Blue Cord Podcast is all about. I'm your host, Karen Bajani, and if sharing your faith has been hard for you and you long to be brave, strong, and courageous, this is for you. Hello, Blue Cord friend. You're in for a real treat on today's episode. I'm joined by my friend Sophia, who'll share her experiences in coming to know Jesus and making him known. So sit back and get ready to be inspired and just encouraged today in your walk with the Lord. So 8.5 years in the United States without an invitation.
Yes, so this day came. I believe it was an appointed day by the Lord, and I walked into this very big Baptist church, and for the first time, I heard a message about Jesus from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1. This was a prophecy the pastor said about Jesus, that God's Spirit was upon Jesus. Spirit of God is upon me, which is Jesus. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and freedom of sight to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that is who I associated myself. I said, that's who I am. I'm bound. I'm blinded. I'm a prisoner. And I want to be set free. I don't know where to go. But then he said in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16 to 20, where Jesus walks into the synagogue, he opens a scroll from prophet Isaiah, and he reads this scripture and sits down and says, today in your hearing, this is fulfilled, where he fulfilled the scripture. And that he came to heal the broken heart and set the captive free. And I just held on to that verse in my heart. Wow, this is words of freedom for me that day. And then Paula and I went to the Christian bookstore in the mall, and she bought me a Bible. For the first time, I'm holding a Bible in my hand, and she showed me the scripture. And a Bible is written differently than the Quran. So I had little understanding of where this is coming from, but it was good for me. I took the Bible home, and I had to hide in my mattress because if my parents found out I have a Bible, I think I would be in very big trouble because it's an Islamic home. There's surahs all over the house, the Quran playing in the background. My father prays 5 times a day. My mom does too. And all this is happening in my Muslim home with my parents, and I have a Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Contraband in the house, under your mattress.
Karen, I could not sleep at night. The first night, I could not sleep. I kept thinking about the scripture. Second night, I could not sleep. And third night, I was thinking, I need to read this book. That's it. I cannot sleep. I cannot be like this for me. I want to know more. I was having a hunger to know more. And so I started reading the Bible on my own. I started reading from the book of Genesis, the stories of the creation of God, and everything from the beginning made so much sense to me. It's almost like it was a storybook for me to really see God through different eyes. And mm-hmm. I saw God in a different way in the book of Genesis. I saw God through the eyes of love, through the eyes of communication through the prophets, as a miracle-working God. And I saw a God that wanted to have a relationship with the people. This is not how I saw Allah as a Muslim. And then I remember reading in the book of Exodus where the children of Israel were held captive by Pharaoh, and God sent Moses to rescue them and bring them into the promised land. And God did great miracles for them, even though they were complaining. And these are the children of Israel. They're the Jewish people. Why would God want to help the Jews? I was thinking, because I was taught to hate the Jews. They are the worst on the planet. They need to be shut down and stopped and killed like cockroaches. Honestly, that's how I was taught. And even to this day, my family is like that. But I was seeing that God's love for the Jewish people was so grand that he did great miracles to rescue them, parted the Red Sea, and give them food and water in the desert, and brought them into the promised land. And I remember also reading in the book of Psalms where David, a highly regarded prophet even in Islam, when he ran from his enemies and he cried to God for help, his God came and helped him. And I cried to my God many times, Karen, in Islam. I prayed, and Allah never answered my prayers. And I often was wondering, why was my God not answering my prayers? Why is this God answering prayers of the people immediately and rescuing them and saving them and doing great miracles? Then I started attending the church and hiding from my parents. And I started hearing about Jesus and the life of Jesus and how he lived. And he came from the Spirit of God into this world by a virgin birth, by a miracle. And he had the power of God. He needed the authority of God to heal the sick, raise the dead, and set people free from pain and suffering and give them a life of freedom, all because he loved them, all because he had compassion and mercy for them. And he even elevated women. And in Islam, women are not elevated. Women are put down many times, shut down, rejected. But he helped and rescued and saved many women and healed them and restored them. And I realized that I want to know a God like this. But the real reason he came was to become a sacrifice. And the whole time I'm reading the Bible, I started seeing a change in my heart. I started believing what I was reading. I started seeing miracles in my life. I started seeing an answer to my prayers. I just said, God of the, I didn't know what to call him. And God of the Bible came and helped me so many times and rescued me from impossible situations. And then in 2.5 years, I read the whole Bible and I knew without a doubt the God I've been looking for is Jesus. And he came and chose me and rescued me. And I got baptized in this Baptist church, and I gave my life to follow Jesus. That day I rejected Islam, and I knew without a doubt the decision I was making was the truth, and it's going to set me free forever.
Amen. And now you are my sister in Christ. We are sisters. That was a joyful day. And it's incredible to consider how God was wooing you all along and just meeting you with his word in a way that would resonate perfectly with you. That day that you visited the church for the very first time, the verse that you heard was exactly the verse that you needed to hear in that moment. And that set you on a journey, God's living word. It's just so important. I think that we can never underestimate the power of the living word as we're in our own walk and being emboldened in our own walk to declare God's glory among the nations. It will make you bolder. Not only that, you will have a word for the person of another faith or culture who does not know Jesus.
Yes, and I'm so blessed to know such a wonderful Christian family all over the world, including you and your husband. And it's amazing. The family of God is the family that truly sometimes is our only family.
Speaking of which, so once you accepted Jesus, what happened?
Okay, so after I accepted Jesus, I knew immediately, Karen, that this message needs to be shared with the world. Because the world where I come from, it's still waiting to hear the truth of Jesus and being set free from many bondages and oppressions in their life. And Jesus is the truth. He came into this world to reveal himself, to give us a hope and a future and eternity with God, to reconcile us to our Heavenly Father, the Creator. And so I immediately started gaining a hunger to want to share this message with the lost, as many people, including my own people, Muslim people. So I knew my calling was to the nations. Of course, here in America as well, I love to share the good news with people here. I continued to see miracles happening in my life. I continued to grow. But I also started getting the understanding that being a believer, it is hard because there's heavy enemy attacks that come against followers of Jesus. And every step that we face attacks, we have to rely more on the Lord and ask him for help. And God comes and helps us and grows us to know him more. And I've also learned about the warfare aspect of it. Spiritual warfare is very heavy. And maybe some believers maybe forget about it, but the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy and bring down our faith, discourage us. So we have to be in the Word of God every day. That is the food for our spirit. We have to worship the Lord. We have to be in communion with him to really be strong in him, to walk with him every day of our life. I'm very grateful to say that I still have this hunger to share the good news with the lost as I did in the beginning. I have been able to travel to many countries all over the world, gone to faraway areas, stories I could tell you of the miracles of God I have seen in the field. Wow, it's amazing. This truly is a living God. He's alive. He's real. And I've been able to go and share the messages with people that have never heard about him before. And the joy of seeing their countenance change and them accepting Jesus and their lives being changed and seeing them one day in heaven is going to be so powerful and a time of celebration of what God has done. It's been fun, but it's also been tough because of the heavy enemy attacks. Also, what happened is my family, I told them that I'm a follower of Jesus now, and they rejected me and they cut me off and they said I'm no longer their daughter and I should be killed. And I said, my father said I'm no longer his daughter, and they cut my name off from the family. Also, my uncle declared a death sentence. So I'm not able to go back to my country. I know whose I am. I am the Lord's. He rescued me, saved me. He will protect me. And he has many times. And it's okay. I have a heavenly home now that I never had before. And I'm looking forward to just even going to heaven and just kneeling in the presence of the Lord and worshiping him. Because that access I never had before. Just that simple access is a blessing to have.
So now these days, Sophia, fast forward. Now you are traveling all over the world. You are sharing Jesus in with people of many faiths and cultures, and sometimes in some of the world's hardest places. And I know you have so many amazing stories and testimonies of how God is at work. And with that global perspective that you have right now, what do you know to be true about God's heart for the nations now?
Karen, increasingly, I am noticing that God's harvest is ripe and ready to receive. Now, speaking in this year of 2022, the harvest is ready to receive, and the laborers are few. So I think the world is waiting to hear the message of our Lord and be rescued and set free from many things that they're experiencing, hardships. Now, there's one thing to live in America. It's different here. Versus the other side of the waters. And I want to say that also what I've noticed in the harvest field, the nations, is God is doing great miracles. When I take the gospel to people, let's say far into the bush region of Africa, and they have never heard about Jesus, I just bring them the message. They receive it. They believe it by faith, and they accept him immediately. And then I say, do you have any pain in your body? Can I pray for you in the name of Jesus? God wants to heal you. He wants to restore you as a brand new person. And they say, yes, pray for me. And I pray for them and they're healed immediately. They just take by faith what I'm sharing with them and they receive it. And the Lord does a miracle and he sets them free. It's amazing. I've seen one girl I shared with one time the gospel. This is called the Maasai tribe in Tanzania, East Africa. And I went there. She had bumps on her face. So I said, I would like to pray for your bumps to be healed. In the name of Jesus. So I just put my hand on the bump, but not directly. And I said, God, please heal these bumps on her face because she's tried a lot to get rid of them from other homeopathic ways and it has not happened. And then after that, I started sharing the gospel with her. And in the final part where I was about to pray, she was about to receive the Lord, I noticed that her bumps were gone on her face. She was completely healed. And she prayed and accepted Jesus. And I said, guess what? The bumps on your face are gone. And she touched the face and she was so happy. She says she's been struggling with this, whatever she was dealing with, infection for such a long time. Also, when I went to China once, I came across a girl that was a divine appointment, I would say, because I didn't have a schedule to meet her. But one day I went to this lady's home. She was sitting in a room on the floor and she saw me and she looked like she saw a ghost. And so I was like, hi, my name is Sophia. What is your name? And she introduced herself and then she said, I saw you in my dream last night. Really? And she said, you're dressed exactly the same way and your hair and everything is the same way. And you're here to tell me something. And I said, yes, I am. So I sat down with her and I shared with her about the Lord and my testimony and she prayed and accepted Jesus. It's powerful. And she is now married and she's sold out for the kingdom purpose in China. She's experienced heavy persecution. Her uncle literally took a thick Bible and hit her on her head. And she bled for a very long time. They threw her out. But thank God the Lord protected her and she's okay. But she's dealt with heavy persecution for being a follower of Jesus from a Muslim background. Thank God. And then I've also seen a woman that was set free from many demons. I just prayed for her in the name of Jesus and she was set free from demons. Until then, I only knew the story in the Bible because in Islamic cultures, they don't emphasize on the demonic parts and all that. So honestly, what I have seen, Karen, is this power in the name of Jesus. And things change. People's lives change when you just bring the name of Jesus in the atmosphere of the place where I've gone. I also went and did ministry to some refugees in Jordan who fled from Syria, from heavy persecution from ISIS. And the first lady I came across, she lost everything. Her husband, her sons, everything. She was a broken, rejected woman, just crying all the time, just depressed. And I just shared my testimony with her and I said, look, I don't have money to give to you, but what I do have is a living God relationship with the creator of the universe. Would you like to know him? Because he wants to be your number one. He wants to be your husband, your provider. He will restore you 100 million times more than what you have lost. Just like Job in the Bible. And she got on her knees and she said, give me, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. And she was desperate to know something which is the truth. And she gave her life to follow Jesus. And she got her countenance changed on her face. Started going to church immediately. She got involved in a Bible study. Now she's leading other women in Bible study. It's powerful. By the way, her husband was found. He was taken by ISIS. But he's home and her sons are okay as well. So the Lord is just doing amazing work in the nations. I'm just telling you, some people are addicted to chocolate. I'm addicted to evangelism and going and sharing God's message and seeing what God does in the nations. And it's so exciting.
It is exciting. And as you were sharing these stories, I was just thinking how Luke wrote in 10:2, he said, Jesus told them, his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And here's the thing, the harvest is right here in our own backyards, in our own cul-de-sacs, in our own cities. Many of the world's least reached people groups who've never had the opportunity to hear about the hope of Jesus are our neighbors. They are in our grocery stores. They're in our Walmarts and our libraries. And we have an opportunity to declare his glory and to point him to Jesus. I pray that there are no more men and women here who live here for 8 years, 20 years like you did before someone told them about the hope of Jesus. So, Sophia, as we wind out our time together today, what else is on your heart? What else would you like to share today?
I want to speak to my brothers and sisters as a Muslim background person. And to be honest with you, the Lord is returning very soon, one day. We don't know the time, but I can tell you, the Bible says that until the whole world hears, then the end will come. That's the truth of what the Bible says. But guess what, brothers and sisters? The world is still waiting to hear about Jesus. Just to make it easy for everyone, the Lord is bringing the nations here to America. And there are still so many Christians here. We have a great opportunity to minister to them right here. Please, when you see a Muslim in a grocery store or any place, please don't turn away and think, oh, they have their own religion. Oh, they have their own lives. I don't need to get involved. Yes, you do, because the gospel changes lives of people. Muslims do not know God. I'm here to tell you myself, I knew religion. I knew of God, but I did not know God the way I do now. An intimate relationship with the Creator God is so powerful, life-changing. To know the truth, we as believers have an obligation. God's command says, go into all the world and give them the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and I'm with you always. So when we go and share the good news message of our Lord, God is with us. He will always speak through the Holy Spirit through us to minister to the people. And if they reject, the Bible says, wipe the dust off your feet and move on. Our job is to share. Holy Spirit's job is to change. And that's how I have to operate in the nations too. I've been rejected many times with the message I'm sharing. But it's not me they're rejecting. It's the, you know, so there's a big difference. So I want to encourage everyone, please don't run away from Muslims, but run towards them, because they don't know the hope of knowing the true living God. They're desperately crying out to God in their prayer times. Emptiness is in their hearts. And they don't have miracle of prayers being answered. And definitely don't have everlasting hope of their souls going to heaven. So please share the message with them. Also, I want to say to the church that now is the time where we cannot not be in the Word of God and not go to church and not fellowship with believers and separate ourselves. I know the enemy would like to change our mindset about the church. Maybe we're offended easily or don't like this or don't like that, whatever. But brothers and sisters, we are called the body of Christ. God is the head. We are to work together for his coming. So we have got to work together. And I encourage you to support ministries like the Blue Cord and other Christian ministries that are truly sold out for the kingdom purpose, because it is hard work for people like us to go to the nations and share the good news. We have to be supported by brothers and sisters in prayer and every other way. So now is not the time for the church to be numb or the hearts separated or being offended or hurt. We have to come together and work together for the Lord.
She speaks the truth. Fire is coming out of your mouth today, Sophia. Thank you so much for that word spoke so aptly, so wise. And thank you for your time, Sophia. It has been just a treasure to hear some new stories and some old stories, and it fires me up all over again. Blue Cord listener, right now, I wish I could see your face and wondering just what you learned and are taking away from Sophia today. So thank you, Sophia, for your time, and that's a wrap. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen. To get more involved in the Blue Cord, start small. Read my book, The Blue Cord, and sign up now to get my e-newsletter at thebluecord.org. I hope you can join me at our Blue Cord Women's Conference coming late April 2022 in North Texas. Look for more details at thebluecord.org.